Good morning. I welcome you to Gates Presbyterian Church on this beautiful sunny morning. If you're visiting with us, we welcome you and ask that you sign the hospitality register so we can welcome you a little bit more formally and also invite everybody to join us for coffee after worship. We have multiple announcements, so I'm going to ask those of you that are giving announcements to be brief. All right, Todd.
Good morning. I just wanted to remind everyone we have two more Sundays before GPC night with the Amricks. The cost is $12 per ticket. It's February 17th at 3:05 p.m. And the day of the game, Sunday morning, will be me and Gary will be handing out the tickets for everybody because the game is that day. So, like I said, you got two more weeks to sign up. We got about 50 people already, so we'll get some more. We got really good seats like we did last year, so I hope you guys have a chance to go down there and sign up. Thank you.
Brian.
Good morning. It's Super Bowl Sunday, and it's Super Bowl Sunday. The GPC Junior Highs invite you to participate in the Super Bowl of Caring with us. The Super Bowl of Caring is a way in which youth from all over the country can help those who are hungry. As you leave worship today, we ask you to drop a dollar or a can of soup in our soup pot. Your cans of soup will go to Cameron Community Ministries to be used in their hot lunch program, and your dollars will go to St. Joseph's House of Hospitality to be used in their hot lunch program. We ask you to pray with us. Lord, even as we enjoy the Super Bowl football game, help us to be mindful of those who are without a bowl of soup to eat. Amen. Thank you.
Those of you that are diligent and excited about doing your taxes, you can pick up your statement outside in the foyer. And for those of you that aren't, you can pick up your statement too.
Many of you have received your Harbinger newsletter for the month of February, and hopefully you've had a chance to read that and to learn more about our Lenten focus that will begin in just a few weeks here, and we will be having quite a few conversations about reducing gun violence. And folks are already wondering, what can they do? How can they be part of these conversations? And I wanted to share one opportunity with you that's happening tomorrow. Mark your calendar. It is the Interfaith Call-In Day to contact your senators and representatives to insist that they act to prevent gun violence. And if you want to know how you can do that, you can check out the website. It is faithscalling.org, or you can ask me for more information.
You'll see in your bulletin there's an announcement for Westside Presbyterian Women. That's the Westside Presbyterian Women sponsor these programs, but they're open to any women who would like to attend. You can read all the information in your bulletin. You can sign up in the foyer. And also, I would like to ask if there are a few men who would sign up to help set up tables and clean up afterwards. The dinner is catered, but there's always a little bit of cleanup, and I don't want the women to have to miss the program in order to clean up. So if you would do that, please, I would appreciate it. Also, we need a piano player. Doesn't have to be a terrific piano player, just someone who can play a little bit. So they need a little help with their music. Thank you.
Today is the last leg of our Big Bang journey. We will be meeting after worship in the adult lounge. Anyone is welcome to attend this leg. It doesn't matter whether you've bought a ticket or not. You are all welcome to come. We're going to discuss with Melissa the biblical aspects of creation in light of what we've learned over the first two legs about the universe. So please, everyone grab a cup of coffee and come on to the adult lounge for that. Thank you.
And I'd like to remind the senior house that youth group tonight or today is directly after worship. We'll be meeting from 12:15 to 2 o'clock. And also today we will gather around our Lord's table. And I wanted you to know that there will be, as you're past the bread, there will be wafers that are gluten-free if you need such. And that we will be using the litany that's in the green book, the back of the green book. Now, let us prepare ourselves for worship. Please stand, if able, for the call to worship. From the midst of our real lives with their very real problems. As persons who love imperfectly and are loved imperfectly. Let us worship with hearts open to the love of God and with hands outstretched to one another.
Let us now join our hearts and voices together in the prayer of confession. Master Teacher, you taught us to love by the way you lived. You showed us that love is patient and kind. You demonstrated that love can bear all things, hope all things, and endure all things. You commanded us to love one another. Forgive us for being so distracted by the noisy gongs and clanging cymbals of our days that we often forget your commandment. Realign our lives and our hearts to your love so that faith, hope, and love dwell within us and shines from us. Amen. We bring our prayers of silent confession. God's love is patient and kind and will not fail you. Hear the good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Be at peace. Praise be to God. At this time, I invite the children forward. A good day anytime I can come to worship and wear my superhero cape. I love it. Do you all have superhero capes? Wouldn't it make our lives all that much better if we could just wear them every single day? Yeah, all right. Yeah, me too. Now, so superheroes have special powers, don't they? Yes. Can you name some of those superhero powers you know about? Yes. Superhero, you keep thinking. Yes. Spider-Man, he can shoot webs from his hands. Yes. Superman can fly. Some superheroes can be invisible. Yes. Batman, yes, can turn into all sorts of animals. Superheroes have all sorts of super jump off towers. I know. And did you know in the Bible there is a pastor whose name is Paul, and he talks about superhero powers? He uses a little bit different word. He calls them gifts. Do you remember us talking about all the gifts that we have and this church family has? You remember this? You wrote them down last week. And do you know which superpower gift I saw the most on those pieces of paper? Love. Over and over and over and over again. Gates Presbyterian Church, and you all say that we have the superhero power gift of love. And there is a special group in the life of this congregation who I think does a lot of this. And those are your Sunday school teachers. And this morning, we are going to welcome some new Sunday school teachers and say welcome back to some of the same Sunday school teachers that you all have had. So I'm going to have Carol Ann call them forward. I'm going to stay here with my cape because we have some superhero answering to do of these questions. So I'll let Carol Ann and Linda get started, okay?
Actually, I'm going to turn it over to Linda.
Good morning. I introduce to you our church school staff for the winter-spring semester. The following people have responded to God's call to teach our young children and youth. In the preschool program, Beth Oman, Jessica Berkovich, Beth Marconi, Rachel Molina, and Jenna Hasselhoff. In our kindergarten class, Rebecca Jarvis, Alex Thornton, Dave Fish, and Katie Fish. In our first and second grades, Heather Pym, Jossie Prim, Carrie Dykes, Samantha Dykes, and Ashley Fritch. In third and fourth grade class, Anne Marie Sim and Erica Strawbridge. In our fifth and sixth grade class, Elaine Owlett and Tammy Pignoni. In the junior high class, Todd Pym. And in the senior high class, Mary Hadley and Mary Wall. Please remain standing while we commission you for your role as a church school teacher. God calls ordinary people from ordinary places to do extraordinary work with God's people. God has called you to teach this semester in our Sunday school program. Being a teacher requires energy, patience, commitment, hard work, and a heart for God's word and God's people. I ask you who have agreed to be teachers to answer the following questions. If you agree, please say I do after each question. Do you promise to prepare responsibly and to share the biblical stories with enthusiasm so that you are able to teach faith by being faithful? Good. Do you promise to respect and care for the children in your classes so that you are able to teach God's love by being loving? Do you promise to learn with your students so that you are able to teach faith exploration by being a faith explorer? Great. Now, boys and girls, this is your part.
Ready, guys? We have okay. to hear superhero voices. Ready? Listen to
okay,
the
now, if boys and girls, do you promise to participate in your church school class and to respect your teachers? If so, shout yes.
Ready?
Okay, now congregation, members of Gates Presbyterian Church, you have provided a church school program that offers children and youth a chance to learn the biblical stories, to explore their faith, and discover the ways in which God wants them to live their lives. Do you also promise to pray throughout the semester for the teaching and the learning ministry of this church? If so, please say, I do. Let us pray.
Let's pray. Ready?
God of grace, pour out your spirit on your servants so they may be faithful teachers in your church. Give them joy in their work. Plant in all of us a yearning to spiritually grow in ways that help us to understand you better and know your will. Amen.
Can I hear a superhero amen? Ready? One, two, three. Amen! All right. You all may go to your school classes with your new teachers now. Have fun. Maybe? I think so, for you guys.
Our first reading this morning is from Psalm 71, verses 1 through 6. In you, O Lord, I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be to me a rock of refuge, a strong fortress, to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and the cruel. For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. Upon you I have learned from my birth. It was you who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually with you.
The second reading of the word this morning is from 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoings, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, and the greatest of these is love. Which scripture passage would you like to use in your marriage ceremony? I asked the couple sitting on the other side of my desk. The young woman replied, "You choose. We don't really care. I don't really know much about scripture." And she continues, "But I would love to have my cousin read that beautiful poem. You know, the one that starts, 'Love is patience. Love is kind. I say, you know more than you realize you know about Scripture.
Now, honestly, if you're sitting out there and I have married you and this happened in one of our sessions together, and you think I'm specifically talking about you, I'm not. Because this happens all the time. It is, so to speak, a universal experience. For the lectionary reading that I read this morning, it's one of the all-time most well-loved pieces of Scripture. Yet I dare say most people don't know that it is, in fact, from the Bible. It's printed on T-shirts, wall hangings, sweatshirts, mugs, aprons, tote bags, and just about everything else you can think of. But no one ever says, hey, that's part of the first letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the Christian church in Corinth, Greece. But now you can. Over the last several weeks, Melissa also has preached from Scripture in the first letter to the Corinthians. The letter is one of the lectionary choices for this season of this year. Last Sunday, I was on retreat with the senior highs, but I heard in worship, you, so to speak, danced to 1 Corinthians, so to speak. And I must tell you, I'm very sorry that I missed that worshipful joy. The interesting thing, however, about our scripture today is that as much as it's used in Christian marriage ceremonies by couples deeply in love, it was actually written for and to a group of people, a Christian community, the church in Corinth. It's not about individual love, but is in fact about community love. It's not about living together in a marriage, but it is, in fact, about living together as a church. Although it is totally appropriate for weddings, sometimes we don't appreciate the depth of its meaning when we fail to recognize the community aspect of it. Paul's not talking about a man's love for his bride. No, Paul is talking about God's love for God's church. The Greek word used for love in this scripture reading is agape. Agape love is the eternal covenant love that God has for God's children and our response to God for that love. So what prompted Paul to write this to the church in Corinth? And what does it look like for a church to be together in agape love? The Christian church in Corinth was having, as we say, a few issues. Imagine that. Church people disagreeing with each other. The reality is that church people, like any other group of people who are in relationship with each other, do have disagreements. Paul writes about these disagreements. Scholars define them as serious disagreements on key issues. For instance, the Corinthians argued about whether or not one should eat food sacrificed to idols, whether or not a woman should be veiled when she prays, whether or not one spiritual gift is more important than another. Now you and I, living in 2013, wonder a little bit at the real seriousness of these issues. It's not like they're talking about pew cushions. And yet, at the same time, we know that we could pull together our own list our own list that causes parking lot conversations and disgruntled emails. Let's face it, when human beings gather, we bring with us our own life experiences, tenacious passions, weariness, day-to-day challenges, raw sensitivities, and on and on and on. We all do it. We aren't religious robots. We don't just drop these things at the front door and turn in our winter scarves for shining bright halos. And nor should we. It didn't happen in Corinth, and it doesn't happen here. Paul tells us, however, that it is God's love for us that empowers us to move through our differences in healthy ways in order to embrace our common purpose, loving and serving God together. And Paul's powerful words serve as a mini instruction manual on how to do this, how to live in Christian community inspired by God's love for us. Hear them again. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. Indeed, patience, humility, and kindness are reflected in statements like, "I don't know," "I could be wrong," "I need to listen," "I'm sorry." Patience, humility, and kindness create a healthier environment and a personal determination to be right. Just this week, I had someone look me straight in the eyes and say, "Carolyn, you're not listening to me." It got my attention. For indeed, I was so involved in my own framing of the conversation that I had completely missed the very valid, very right perceptions of my friend. In Christian community, we trust that we can say what is hurting us deeply. We trust that we will be heard. We trust that we will be loved. And we trust that we will be accepted. Sometimes Paul's challenge means having face-to-face difficult conversations. Sometimes it means doing things in an alternate way than the culture does them. Sometimes it means intentionally investing time in people you don't know very well. Sometimes it means forgiving those who have hurt you. But it always means respecting each other as children of God. It always means discerning God's will together. For in the words of Paul, rejoicing in the truth that love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. When I read these words to brides and grooms standing in front of me on their wedding day, I'm challenging them to take Paul's words away from the glitz of their wedding day and into the hard work of marriage. For Christian marriage is about striving to live by the inspiration of God's perfect love for us, agape love. Christian community is also about striving to live by the inspiration of God's perfect love for us. Yes, agape love. It is as if God is saying, I welcome you. I love you just because I do. And I hope that you will love others the same. As children of God, we will soon gather around our family table. We'll be renewed to love, to be loved, to receive, to give. We'll be reminded that God loves us perfectly. And with God's help, we will be empowered to spread that love to others. So let us rejoice. Let us rejoice that we gather at the family table in love. Amen.
This is the joyful feast of the people of God.
People will come from east and west and north and south and sit at the table in the kingdom of God.
This is the Lord's table. Our Savior invites those who trust in him to share the feast which he has prepared. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Give thanks to God, for God is good.
His love is everlasting.
Holy Lord, everlasting God, we give you all thanks and praise, for you are a safe haven and a tower of strength, and your love will never end. Fulfilling the words of the prophets, your child Jesus came, and in him we have seen you face to face. Now and forever, his love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, and in his love the wholeness of all things is coming. Great and wonderful are your works, Lord God Almighty, your ways are just and true. People of faith from all times and places, we lift our hearts in joyful praise, for you alone are holy.
Mm-hmm.
Holy God, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, who lived with us, sharing joy and sorrow. He told your story, healed the sick, and was a friend to sinners. Obeying you, he took up his cross and was murdered by people he loved. We praise you that he is not dead, but is risen to rule the world, and he is still the friend of sinners. We trust him to overcome every power to hurt or divide us, so that when you bring in your promised kingdom, we will celebrate victory with him.
Remembering you, Lord Jesus, we break bread.
Great God, give your Holy Spirit in the breaking of bread, so that when we may be drawn together and joined to Christ the Lord, receive new life and remain his glad and faithful people until we feast with him in glory.
On the night of his arrest, after giving thanks, Jesus took the bread and broke it and said, "This is my body, broken for you. Eat, remembering me."
In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant, sealed in my blood, shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." Friends, every time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the saving death of the risen Lord until he comes again.
Thank you. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Eat, remembering me.
This is the cup of the new covenant, God's promise of salvation poured out for each and every one of us. Let us pray. O God, through this bread and this cup, you have made us one with you and with each other. May the unity we find at this table be a gift that we carry out into your divided world. Help us to find strength in knowing that you, the God of peace, will always be with us. Amen. At this time, I invite you to share your prayers of joy, your prayers of concern.
Over here.
I want to thank Nathan for playing All Is Well during silent prayers there. I was actually humming that to myself. It was a year ago I had my surgery, and I think really in large part thanks to the prayers of this congregation, I'm still here after January 20th, and I want to thank all of you and God for my progress. Thank you.
Amen.
Ed Coons. Kathy and I would like to thank all of you for your prayers and support. And while we were in Elmira at the passing of our mother, thank you.
Continued prayers.
My father's friend is very ill with stomach cancer, and he's supposed to die this week, so praise for him.
Prayers be with him. We also have the prayers from our children this morning. Prayers of joy for many of them that got great report cards. Prayers of healing for a bruised tailbone. Prayers for another friend who fell on the ice. Prayers for fun with friends and the Girl Scouts. Prayers of joy for a lost tooth. Prayers of joy for Elvis sunglasses. And prayers of joy for when we see our friends from church outside the church. Amen. Let us continue our prayers. God of love and hope, in a world that knows so much pain and violence, political scandal and natural disasters, and more calamity than we appear to have the capacity to endure, it is easy for us to feel cynical, that love is nothing more than shallow words of Hollywood stars and Hallmark cards, that the only thing that endures is the stuff we read and the despair of everyday life. Lord, in this seemingly changeless reality, we are in need of the good news about your transformative love that endures above all else. Grant us that your love does endure, that we might know it, and that we might show it in the everyday of our lives, in the ways that we come together to share food and resources for the hungry, the ways in which we care and comfort those who are mourning, those who are grieving, those who are just having a really bad day. God, help us to have that patience, that hope, the love, and the faith we need to be your disciples. God, hold us close. Fill us with the promise of this meal, that no matter what, we are in your arms. We pray these prayers, both spoken aloud and those that dwell in the silence and darkest parts of our hearts. And we say together, the words of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever. Amen. And we now worship God by practicing an act of thanksgiving, offering back to God from the many blessings in which we receive.
Thank you.
Let us pray. We thank you, God, for this place at the table and also for making room for others at your table. We walk by faith, we live by faith, and we give by faith. God of great gifts, you have given us so much. Accept these gifts from our hands and our hearts as our faithful response to your abundant grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Of the Holy Spirit. Amen.